Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are doing Psalm 39 this morning, and with this morning's devotional in Psalm 39, we have now covered all 150 Psalms. You might be thinking, wait a minute, Psalm 39 seems like a strange place to stop if you're going through all the Psalms. Well, it was never my intention to go through all the Psalms when we started off together over a year ago. I was just wanting to provide some encouragement from a few of my favorite Psalms during the spring COVID lockdown last year. And after a while, it just people kept coming and seemed to be responding positively to what we were doing, and so I just kept going. But I had skipped a bunch early on, so I started with Psalm 40, and I went through all of them to the end of Psalm 150, but I had skipped a bunch between, up till Psalm 39, and so I had to go back and sort of fill in. So this is the completion of all 150. And we actually did three on Psalm 119. So we've actually done 152 morning devotionals in the Psalms, which I just did a little quick math. It's over 3,000 minutes, over 50 hours, almost 51 hours of morning Psalms devotionals together to cover 150 Psalms, about 20 minutes each. So anyway, they are available on YouTube, on Sermon Audio, and on Facebook. All of them are, mostly. But there are some gaps, because not everything's on Sermon Audio, because I wasn't live streaming to Sermon Audio at the beginning. Not everything's easy to find on YouTube or Facebook, so I'm going to be taking some time over the next couple of days to try to clean that up and make sure you can find all 150 in each one of those three places very easily. So you can look forward to that in the coming days. And we're not done. We're going to do Psalm 40 on Friday, because Psalm 39 is a really deep, kind of sad, very moving lament, and it seems like a strange way to end. And Psalm 40 really comes after Psalm 39 intentionally. There's an intentionality in God's providential ordering of the Psalms. And so Psalm 40 comes after Psalm 39. So we're going to do that one on Friday, and that'll be our final Psalms devotional for a while. We are going to continue to do morning devotionals, but they will not be in the Psalms for a while, I don't think. So stay tuned. I may take next week off to organize the devotionals we've already done and put them together. Or I may not. We'll see. You could be praying for me to have wisdom as to what direction to go into next, as well as for whether or not I should take next week off, those kinds of things. So anyway, it's time to get ready and go through Psalm 39. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that you've given to us. Thank you for another day of life. Thank you for another psalm for us to be able to dig into and reflect on and think about and then pray back to you. Father, we ask that you would be with us as we look at Psalm 39 this morning. We ask that you write it on our hearts and that you would make it very living and active and powerful in our lives. Help us to learn how to lament well. For being sinful people living in a fallen world, we often have occasion to lament, to weep over our sin and over the sin of those around us. So, Father, help us to use the language of Psalm 39 and other psalms to lament faithfully before you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 39 is written to the choir master. It is set probably to the tune of Jeduthun. That's probably what Jeduthun means. And it is a psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. As long as the wicked are in my presence, I was mute. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, You have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, Selah. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears. For I am a sojourner with you, a guest, like all my fathers. Look away from me, that I may smile again, before I depart and am no more. That Psalm 39 and Psalm 88 are probably the darkest laments in the Psalter. They both end on a very sad note. Most laments end with a joyful, triumphant celebration of God's deliverance that will be coming, that is foreseen by faith. But both Psalm 39 and Psalm 88 end with this very sad note. Psalm 88 ends with, you know, darkness is my only friend. And this one, look away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. Now, that shows us a couple of things. First of all, God hears and God desires to hear our deepest, most honest, and painful laments as they are directed to him in faith. We all go through periods of dark thinking, depression, fear, paralysis over the future. God wants us to come to him at those times and to pour out our hearts with honesty, with sincerity. There's no point playing a hypocrite before God, putting on a mask, pretending everything's okay. He sees our hearts better than we do. So God wants to hear that. But also, the Psalms are a collection that is ordered by the hand of God. And Psalm 40 follows Psalm 39, and Psalm 89 follows Psalm 88. So when you're reading through the Psalms, it's okay if you get to the end of Psalm 39, you're like, I just want to keep reading and read Psalm 40. Well, then go back to Psalm 39, but know that Psalm 40 is there for a reason, and we'll get to that on Friday. So this is written by David. And what we can see from David here is he is distressed. He's deeply distressed, both by the sin of those around him and also by his own sin. So he has decided that he is going to be quiet and not speak so long as the wicked are in his presence. I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. So David is saying, these wicked people are in front of me. They're evil. They're plotting all sorts of evil things. I am going to be quiet. Of course, who does that remind us of? Like a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The Lord Jesus, when he stood before the wickedness of Pontius Pilate and Herod, before the wickedness of the Roman soldiers who were punching him and beating him, he was quiet. And you can say, humanly speaking, it was to no avail, because they just continued on in their attacks of him and their unjust assault on his godly character. And the same with David. He was quiet, but to no avail. So then David speaks, "O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you've made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather." So he's crying out to God, and David lived much of his life on the knife's edge of death. King Saul was chasing him. Absalom was plotting against him. After he took the census, the angel of destruction was sweeping throughout the land. There were many times he was in battle. When as he got older, he had to stop going to battle, because one time he was in battle and the battle turned against them and everybody on the enemy's side was targeting David specifically, and Joab finally told him, "Look, you can't go out to battle with us anymore. If we lose you, it's like losing thousands of men." So David lived his life in this way, and he wanted to know. He wanted to know, "How long, Lord, how long are you going to give me here?" And then that made him reflect on the fact that no matter how long God gives anybody, our days are nothing. A breath. We're just a breath. We're just a shadow. And that's something we need to take to heart. You know, I'm 47 years old, pretty much right in the middle of my life. I don't know how many days the Lord has given me, but it would seem like I've gotten to the top of the hill and I'm coming down the backside. I'm pretty close to the very top, I think. I don't know. Nobody knows for sure, right? But it's amazing how quickly time goes, right? It's amazing how quickly the years and then the decades seem to pick up speed and accelerate ever faster and faster. And that's something we need to take into account. Our lives are not permanent, and the things we accumulate for ourselves in this life are not permanent. We heap up wealth and we don't know who is going to gather. So in the face of that, in the face of a fleeting life that we don't know how long it's going to live, in face of fleeting wealth that we could accumulate, we could die, as rich as Jeff Bezos, and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to get our wealth after we're gone and what they're going to do with it. In the face of that, what? And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? That's exactly what David says. So what? My hope is from you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Pondering the brevity of life, pondering the temporary nature of any earthly treasure or promise or hope this world could offer, it focuses our hearts, it focuses our minds, and this is what it's all about. My hope is in you, O Lord. Deliver me from all my transgressions. See, David was worried about the wickedness of those around him, and he was going to keep silent so he didn't speak out against it. Now he's saying, Lord, deliver me from all of my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. As David thinks about his sin and his transgression, he realizes that what he is suffering is actually coming from the Lord. My own opinion is I think this was probably written in the time when he was fleeing from his son Absalom, and he's pondering on how he got to where he was. He was surrounded. Many of his closest advisors turned on him and went with Absalom. And this is unlike the time when he was fleeing from Saul and he had done nothing wrong. I think when he was fleeing from Absalom, he had time to reflect upon his own actions, and he realized he kind of blew it. He really was not faithful to God and to God's calling upon his life. And he was suffering discipline from God. Hard discipline, but discipline from God, because he had been so neglectful as a father and as a king. He had become too comfortable and complacent and neglectful. Now, we can shift from David back to Christ, and what we can see is that as Christ moves from being surrounded by evil accusers and remaining silent, he goes to the cross, and he becomes sin for us. And he receives the stroke of God's justice, God's wrath that is due to us for sin. And when David, back to David now, when David is under this heavy weight of the fact that his life is in the balance, he's been surrounded by wicked men, and it's his fault, and God's actually doing it to him, he just wants God to hear him, to not hold his peace. And he says, "For I'm a sojourner with you, a guest, like all my fathers. I'm just here for a little bit of time." This is God's world. We're guests in it. This is God's world. We're sojourners through it. And at this point in time, he says, "Please, no more discipline." That's basically what the last line means. Please, no more discipline. When he says, "Look away from me that I may smile again," it's not, "I don't want you as part of my life." It's, "Please, have mercy on me. Please see my tears, hear my cry, be merciful to me. Don't look upon me in judgment and in anger anymore, so that I can smile again before I depart and am no more." And Christ on the cross, so back to Christ now on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As the weight of the sin is laid fully upon him, and he becomes sin for us, and he suffers the wrath of God in our place. But before the end, before he draws his last breath, he is able to say, "It is finished," meaning it's fully paid for, the work is accomplished, and then he's able to say, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." So, you know, I believe one of the things Psalm 39 hints at, and one of the things we can draw by inference from Scripture, is that Christ died smiling, knowing that he had finished the Father's work and that his spirit was going to his Father. As he'd said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So that's a reminder to us that all suffering in life is temporary. Because Christ has borne the weight of our sin, because he has opened the way to paradise, all of our suffering, all of our tears, all of our, whether it's other people doing wrong to us, or a consequence of our own wrong, whichever way it is, and sometimes it's both, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. And before we depart this world, we can smile again. No matter what we go through, before we depart from this world, we can smile again, knowing that we are heading to our Father's loving embrace, where there is no more discipline for sin. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us with such a strong and faithful love. Thank you for giving us such an unshakable hope in Christ. Our hope is in you, and our hope is well placed. We wait for you, and we do not wait in vain. But Father, we do suffer in this world. Sometimes we suffer because of the wickedness around us. Sometimes we suffer because of the wickedness within us. Sometimes we're under your fatherly discipline, which is never pleasant in the moment. Sometimes we're suffering the consequences of our own foolishness. Father, give us a strong and steadfast hope in your gospel, knowing that Jesus suffered for us to pay for all of our sins, that we might be with you forever. Let that be the hope that anchors our soul in the storms of life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And that's it. We've done all 150 Psalms, but join us on Friday morning for Psalm 40. Have a blessed day in the Lord.